tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads from over 200 countries and your number one source in after-show entertainment. Johnson. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
I don't even care that some people are like, it's a buzzkill that you go from like that really high-pitched, fun AfterBuzz to this beautiful, beautiful song. Galax music. You guys, we are back here. Roya's making fun of me.
Sorry.
But we are back for another after show for your favorite show, Outlander. This was episode 6, The Garrison Commander. I'm Keaton Markey, your host. Here with my
Ryan Hooks here.
Panel.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, Ryan.
Hey, miss your face.
Can we just do a huge congrats to Ryan? His baby girl was born
Thursday, September 11th.
Congratulations!
He is a new daddy
at 2:39 p.m. 6.9 pounds, 20 inches long.
And you were in the. He texted me. He's like, I've been in the hospital since 2 a.m.
Yeah, we went.
And that was around noon.
We opted to go in on our own. Like, we made an appointment and we went in at 2 a.m. to, like, start everything. And then they gave her drugs and did all this other stuff that I don't really want to talk about or think about anymore now that it's done. And then, yeah, about 2 o'clock, they're like, hey, we could probably have a baby now. I'm like, all right, let's do this. And came
12
right
hours
up.
Later.
Wow. 12 hours later. Mostly just, like, a lot of waiting around and, like, just waiting for the meds to kick in and all that.
Well, you did good. The pictures are gorgeous. She's so
you did good, Ryan.
Wait, I did real good. Listen, I contributed for about 30 seconds. ever since then.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I tried to make a joke. It was sort of funny.
Yeah, sort of
at
funny.
Least it was at my expense and not someone else's.
Yeah, true story. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. And who's over there on the other side of the table, ladies?
Well, right here is Kendra Summer.
Hello, Kendra.
Hi, guys. It's Roya Tahari.
Hey, Roya.
Hi, Roya. How are you?
I'm what great. Up?
Roya does like 6 shows on Sundays, so she like goes back to back to back to back.
And I'm just so hungry.
One. I'm sure you are. And they didn't make popcorn today.
No.
So.
Wah, fail.
Well,
so, yeah.
Well, you know, so, yeah. Well, thanks again to everybody who gives us, who comments and rates on YouTube as well as iTunes. We really, really, really appreciate it. And as always, I'm going to give some of you guys a shout out. So, Soren Crane, Black Butterfly 447, Jane Barclay, who is actually from Glasgow. Sorry. Thank you for watching and, letting us know actually what it's like there. Emmy Rose. Gabrielle Vasquez, La 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 Lauren 33, Natalie Turner,
La 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 Lauren,
Natalie Turner, Ichabod 72,
and
Dakota 927. So again, you guys make our job so much more fun when you comment. I literally read all the comments. Do you guys read all the comments?
I do, yeah.
Well, the conversation is so interesting, the things they point out.
It is, and it's so much more fun. Like, you guys will write something, and then I'll start doing research. And
oh, yeah, we learn something new, you know, like, all the research. So, yeah, thank you guys so much for all the comments, especially continue to rate us on iTunes, because that's so important, especially for our show's success, because the more ratings of 5 stars on iTunes we have, you know, the more searchable we are. We show up in the trending sections. We show up in the news and now check it out sections of iTunes. So it makes our show more searchable for all the other fans that haven't seen us that want to learn more.
And share our show.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Tweet
and it's
it.
So important because the season's almost over and we really want to go out with a bang.
Well, that's not the season. It's just we're going to have a mid-season finale in only 2 episodes.
Only 2.
Which makes me so sad. So, I mean, while I wait, I think I'm going to order a Birchbox.
Yes. Birchbox, guys. You want to know what Birchbox is?
Well, tell me about Birchbox, Roya.
Yeah,
exclusive, where you can get makeup. I was about to say medicine because of your medicine talk earlier. But Birchbox is where you can get makeup, like really popular stuff online. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I definitely do.
I mean, do.
It's great.
You mean you could go and order makeup and they'll send you samples of every kind of stuff they offer?
Yeah. You know how you write.
$10 a month?
It's not just
facial
for girls.
Creams. Yeah, they have a whole men's section, actually.
Yeah, you don't have to go into the Sephora anymore. You can order online and get it for $10 a month.
I mean, I will probably still go to Sephora for many other reasons that aren't related
don't
to product.
Don't tell people that,
Ryan. No,
I have friends that work at Sephora.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, okay.
So that's a good reason.
Use the AfterBuzz code?
Yes, use the AfterBuzz code, and then you can join their loyalty program, which is great because then you'll get more shipment and more products that you can keep trying. It's just amazing.
And you can buy full-size products too, right?
Claire would want this.
Claire would want this.
My mom should get this.
I should get it for your mom.
I should.
I have it. It is a great gift. It's a great gift idea. And this is in all seriousness. Like, it's really cool. The products that they let you try out are actually really, really good products. And it's great because, you know, you always read these fads or read these magazines and like, they're like, oh, number one face wash or makeup remover, or whatever. And you're just like, I don't know if I want to buy the whole thing. So you can actually try it out and then, there's direct links on their website that allow you to purchase a full-size version of it. So, check Birchbox out.
They kind of tailor it to you, too. Like, you kind of say what you're looking for.
Answer questions and stuff about what you want.
That's great.
I was like, they tailor it to me? I was like, well, I didn't know this. God.
Oh, my
God.
Surprise.
Listen, you guys can have makeup for gifts. I'm accepting baby gifts of bottles of scotch of any variety. any Glen will do, as they say.
Oh, goodness. What is your baby's name?
Elise Victoria.
I know. He's been starting a hashtag.
Elise Victoria. She's already socially trending. Her
so
first
cute.
Photo got over 400 likes on Facebook.
Okay. Well, we're going to move into the episode.
I don't think I've ever even got 400 likes on Facebook for anything I've ever done.
Well, you can just use your daughter's fame.
I'm going to. Gerber, I'm coming for you next.
Actually, before we get into overall thoughts, I just wanted to share something I found out this week. Actually, that's happening next week. Scotland is about to vote for their independence from England.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the 18th, they are voting for their independence. And it's just so crazy that kind of we're seeing this struggle on Outlander, and it's actually happening in real life. So, you know, go Scotland. I don't know a ton about it. I read this article on the Business Insider, and it's similar. It has to do with kind of the economy and all of that jazz. But go Scotland. You know what? If you guys want to be your own country, but then the Union Jack will be no more.
So I wonder what, what happens to Great Britain? Because now the Isle of Great Britain becomes...
Well, I mean, Scotland's a separate entity. So, anyway.
But it's still on the island of, you know, England and Wales and Scotland are all on one island. So they're just countries within that island.
Well, I just hope that, you know, everybody, they find that everybody kind of comes out as happy as can be with that vote, and good luck.
That's definitely
well.
Yeah. Let us know if
it's
you're
exciting. Yeah,
we have a lot of fans that are in London and Scotland and the various places over there. Let us know what you guys think about this because this is big social news.
But let's not cause a fight.
No,
we don't want to cause a fight.
We're having a calm political debate.
Teach the Americans about what's going on. Because I read this article from Business Insider, and it basically told me that it was nothing like the first Scottish War of Independence, which was what was featured in Braveheart. it's not that. It's not that crazy. But I would love to kind of get a point of view from some Scots. But the episode, you guys, what did you guys think of this episode, The Garrison Commander? Roya, tell me how your overall thoughts were.
It was intense. The story was intense. There's a lot of emotional and I'm just so flustered by it that it's so awesome. No, I really enjoyed it. We learned a lot about Jack, and I felt very deceived, but we'll get into why.
Okay. Yeah, we will.
I thought it was very well done. I was really happy.
Kendra?
I really liked it. I felt like it was very much a continuation of last week's episode, and it's getting closer and closer to the big, you know, what we're all anticipating, having read the book, so I'm very excited.
The moment of truth is coming.
Ryan?
I liked just the overall intensity of as Rose was saying, like, it's just, there was something about it that was, the whole episode had this very, like, the tension to it the whole time, and you were, like, sitting there, like, waiting, and they're talking, and you're like, and they're going back and forth with each other, and it was very intellectually stimulating from them, you know, because there's definitely a battle of wits between Claire and Blackjack the whole episode. And actually, it reminded me a lot of, too, they had Black Sails is a show that Starz did, and there was a lot of scenes where they had these great debates, and there was a lot of wits and a lot of, you know, thought process in what they were saying. And I like that they're continuing that with this show.
Yeah, I mean, what was crazy about this episode is I felt like the pace was much quicker than last week's episode, but almost the entire episode took place in one room.
In that table. Mm-hmm.
But I thank you so much. I think it was beautifully directed. And I loved how at the beginning you did feature kind of the Scottish scenery at the beginning and the beauty of it. And then, we got to see a little bit of it again in the end. But gosh, Scotland is just so, so beautiful. I want to go. I've only been there once and I just want to go back so bad more I watch the show.
It's crazy. Starz is doing that contest that if you watch the show and enter keywords, you can win a trip to Scotland. And
Send me send Keaton to Scotland.
You can do the Robert Burns Ale Trail. That was my favorite thing about Scotland when I was there.
Oh, you've been?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've been once.
Edinburgh.
And I went to Edinburgh too.
That's impressive.
The Miracle Mile is just beautiful.
Edinburgh. It's Edinburgh. It's not Edinburgh.
Well, I was dumb and did ask a guy playing bagpipes on the street what was under his kilt, and he showed me.
No.
Do you like what you see?
No comment on that.
I just want to say real quick before break down the episode, I really liked how this episode was very similar to the second episode of this season, where she got to meet the whole clan, and this is her meeting the Englishman, and it was very, very similar. Like, it matched up.
Yeah. It was almost like the tone. No, not the tone.
It's how she would have wanted it to be with the clan that mm-hmm. when she first met them, but it was completely not.
Yeah, yeah.
She's so much of a chameleon, I feel, just the way she can just blend in everywhere. I'm so blown away.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, last week's episode, we were left with this cliffhanger of these British soldiers. Actually, it was Lieutenant Foster, who is a cutie, by the way. Gosh, he's so cute. None of the other Englishmen I thought were very good looking, but dang, Lieutenant Foster is a cute guy.
It's because he stood up for Claire.
I think that maybe that's why I pulled at my heartstrings a little bit. But so we left with this cliffhanger, and when we go back to the beginning of this episode, Claire basically says, you know, we see kind of the cuts to, you know, the Englishman, to Dougal, wondering, okay, what is Claire going to say? The tension is high, and she basically says, you know, I am a guest of the Clan Mackenzie. She says, I'm here of my own free will. You don't need to interfere. But the Lieutenant Foster says, you know, but I think our commander would like to, just in case, I think he'd like to meet you. You know, you're an English lady out in the Scottish countryside. So come along with us. And Claire is like, yes, I can escape to Inverness now, so I can go back to Craignadoon. And no, Claire.
If only was that simple.
If you only knew.
She's an English rose.
What is this? What you guys were expecting, Ryan? You haven't read the book, so what did you feel about her answer and how this kind of?
Well, I was saying last week in predictions that I was expecting her to actually stand up for the Scottish when she got around other English people and especially soldiers and that kind of stuff. So I was happy to see that actually happened when they were kind of questioning everything that each other were doing. You know, as the murders and the killings were going on, she was standing up for both sides, really, but also the Scottish and their actions and things they're doing, because it is their land, mm-hmm. even though it's the king's land.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not surprised at all, because her quest for Inverness is kind of like the quest for Oz, and I knew that she was going to do what she did.
There's no place like home.
She even says, like, references like that throughout this episode.
Mm-hmm. Well, even not reading the book, this part was not in the book.
No,
so her answer could have been, yeah, I'm being held against my free will, help me, or
absolutely.
Anything. And it wasn't.
And so. I was wondering how they were going to get her to... We'll talk more about book comparisons later, but this doesn't spoil anything. I was still wondering how they're going to get her to this kind of climax of her and Black Jack Randall meeting again.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved Dougal in this episode, and we'll talk a lot
we'll
more
do
about Dougal later.
Episode.
But I mean, how he is immediately says, I will accompany her. You will not take her by herself.
Mm-hmm.
And Claire is like, you can kind of see it on her face when he says it. She's like, damn it.
It's like trying to go to prom and your dad's like, well, I'm going to come with you.
Yeah.
Dad, I just want to go to the movies alone.
I'll be in the back row. Don't worry about it, honey.
But it's so cute that he wanted to go. Like,
it is.
So adorable.
I don't know if I'd call Dougal cute.
He's a very sexy man.
I think he's a sexy man, but I wouldn't say Dougal, he's cute. No, Lieutenant Foster and Jamie are cute. Dougal is a sexy man. So when Claire does actually get to Fort William, she is greeted and happiness and in love by all these Englishmen who are like, oh my gosh, an English rose. And
we haven't seen a woman in ages.
Yeah. Here's venison, you know?
I was a little worried for her at that point, too. And they're like, we haven't seen a woman in ages. Yeah, about that.
Oh my gosh.
You want to be careful.
Sir Oliver Lord Thomas was a little forward. Mm-hmm. Just a little.
Little
just
flirty.
Yeah. Oh, he wasn't even flirty. He was just like letting her know.
He had a couple glasses of Claret. He's fine. No big deal.
He looks like a lightweight. You know, it happens.
Could be a party starter.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, and if Claire walked in, I'm sure you would react the same way.
Hey,
I watched this episode originally with a friend of mine who's English, and he has not read the books, but his wife like loves the books, and so they're watching the show together, and he was so appalled by how the English were being portrayed. He was like, "Oh my gosh, like we have no hope. Like they're going to portray the English. Every single one of them are being portrayed in a horrible way. They're either stupid or pompous or just." Horrible human beings, a.k.a. Black Jack Randall.
Now, was that when they were talking to Claire about the Scottish, or was it more about Claire, their reaction to Claire that he was getting offended, or was it all of the above?
It was all of the above. He was, and, you know, and if I look at it and kind of take a step back, there are not very many redeeming qualities that were shown about the English when they did invite Claire. Yes, they invited Claire to sit down, but as soon as they did, insults started flying. Dougal and just
measuring contest.
Yes, and the Scottish in general, and we see Claire get very, you know, she doesn't love these people. She wants to get away from these people, but she doesn't dislike these people. And she's grown up in a country where Scotland, like our Scots, are Britain. Like they're all you know kinsmen, I guess. Mm-hmm. So she's I don't. Oh, I wanted to wring her neck sometime during this episode. She just would not shut up.
What part? Like when she was defending them?
Well, this is the thing. She Claire does so well. Kendra's exactly right. Claire is an absolute chameleon. Mm-hmm. You can see her. She immediately started being more proper and, you know, feeding into them, flirting back with these guys. Cause she knows what she wants and she was gonna get it. And she did get it. Mm-hmm. But then she freaking kept talking. And you can see it on their faces at first when she starts defending Dougal at the beginning, before Blackjack even comes in. You see it when, like, she's like, you know, they're just like us. They just want the same freedoms we want. Da-da-da. Like, they're getting a little questionable because they're like, why is this lady...
Yeah, why are you standing up for her?
Yeah, why are you standing up for these heathens?
Mm-hmm.
But then she kind of pulls it back and she's just like, you know, and Dougal is a great political politician because he knows he needs to just step out of the room. Mm-hmm. He gets his little jabs and he's like, I'm just going to walk out.
Go to the tavern.
She almost has that personality where she's so charming that she kind of gives you amnesia. Like, oh, what were you saying? I'm just so taken in with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Absolutely.
I like to pay attention to when she's alone with these people, the music that they play. And this time, if I remember correctly, it was classical music, that when they're talking...
It was like a harpsichord.
Yeah, because you didn't hear what they were saying. You just see her kind of enjoying everything.
Mm-hmm.
And just their interaction that way. It was kind of interesting. I was waiting to see if the music would change, because the Scottish, you know, playing the music. And then when she's trying to escape, it's her real life music.
Mm-hmm. I love when she kind of yells at Dougal and Lieutenant Foster. She's like, Lieutenant Foster and Dougal, stop it. And, like, Sir Oliver gets, like, a little, like, hard on because he's like, oh.
Oh,
feisty.
Yes, I like that. I should.
Command a man. You know how to do that.
Yeah. And then Dougal, we see, like, I think Dougal is absolutely charmed by Claire. Even though he gets very annoyed with her, I think he loves that she's such a spitfire.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny. He's like, oh, she does this all the time. Like, he's so used to it. I have a question. So when they first take her to go to the British, she says that she's very comfortable because she's been with the British soldiers before. Mm-hmm. Do you think if she wouldn't have had that prior experience in her time with the British soldiers?
The Tommies?
Yes. Do you think that she would have been as inclined to go with them, or do you think that would have affected anything? Because I know she really wants to get to Inverness.
Well, I think her whole character would have been different if she didn't have that experience with them, because that's who she became who she is because of being in the war. So I think that would have been a completely different Claire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think she absolutely knows how to deal with soldiers. And she knows these men are far from their home, far from their families, not interacting with women very much. So she knows how to play them, and she uses that to her advantage.
Absolutely.
But she very quickly realizes she cannot play Black Jack Randall. He is a whole different breed of man. And he's, yeah.
I really, think she's really going to get the best of him, though.
I hope. Mm-hmm. I hope. Well, he comes in, and Ryan, I mean, we all knew this was going to happen. Ryan, what did you feel, like, what did you think when you saw Black Jack enter
that? I loved
it.
I was like, yes. I love that he came in, that he's all dirty, and they were, like, yelling at him that, Lord Thomas was like, can you not get it? You're getting your dust in my drinks. Like,
are we under attack?
You dirty heathen, you. But I like that he holds his own, even with the people that are his superiors in the military, because he knows that they've come and gone, and he's still been there, and mm-hmm. he's the one that's out there all the time dealing with everything. You know, and I like that moment where he sort of recognizes Claire, but then they both lie about knowing each other.
You can definitely see him being a brat that he is, and that evilness of him, because of the way he's like steps in the doorway, brushes off very rudely, and kicks his feet like a smartass. Sorry, guys, but like, that's who he is, and you can see it in that little few seconds. But that's how
he's cleaning himself off.
Yeah, you think, oh, he's gonna be respectful and go out and
shake his coat.
Yeah, and get it off.
Nope. In the door.
Exactly. Well,
when he was first doing that, I thought he was doing some kind of like hand signal or something, because it was so extreme. Like, I thought he was like, you know how sometimes if you tap a certain way or something, that could be like a signal,
like SOS.
Yeah, because he was like tapping so long. Yeah,
those heavy wool
like
coats
Morse
are
code.
Tough to get all the dust on.
Morse code. Not been, you know, I thought, and I wonder if this was they did this on purpose. When he first came in, and him and Claire first locked eyes, and they kept cutting back and forth between the two of them, he looked so sexy. Like, I have never thought Frank nor Black Jack Randall in either of the costumes were that hot, or like, I've never been super attracted to them. I appreciate them. I love Frank for who he is, and Claire's relationship.
You know, that's one person, right?
No, I know, no, but this, but. For the first time, I was like, oh my god, he is like the sexy soldier in uniform. Like, give me some of that. And then he goes through this transformation of just being just despicable, disgusting. I vomited a little bit in my mouth throughout this episode. Like, it made me physically uncomfortable.
So do you think in that scene is when we were in Claire's eyes and seeing him, who she might think he is, like, maybe he's actually a sensitive kind of guy? Is that what you're trying to get
at? I think that's later.
Yep. No, I meant in that moment, do you think, or was it more fear?
No, I think Claire seeing him, I think it was a reminder of Frank. So I think I think that they did it on purpose with the way that they showed him. I think it was Claire being intrigued and being reminded of Frank again, but then also realize, like, knowing where
snapping
she
back
was.
To reality.
Yeah. We got a little taste of that, of, ooh, that's mm-hmm. Frank.
She had a bit of deja vu, like, oh my gosh, and then, oh yeah,
yeah,
I'm still here.
And, we were talking, Kendra and I were talking about his face, because he does have some distinguished marks on his face, but if you look at him when he's Frank versus when he's Blackjack, they're, like, enhanced. Mm-hmm. So, like, the markings, like, on his face look almost like scars when he's Blackjack, but when he's Frank, they're very subtle, and especially the scene when she was shaving him, if you looked, you could still see them, but they were really light, and the coloring of that scene was really light to make him, you know, more appealing.
He's very hard when he is Blackjack. I mean, he's like a hardened character, you know what I mean? Like, they make him look...
Extreme features and...
Yeah, and even the way he stands, he's standing more, like...
Erect,
like, I guess. That's what it, you know, like, if you notice, he's like tall and just very, like, uncomfortable looking. Mm-hmm. But when he's Frank, he's very, like...
Loose.
Yeah, like this.
And I think a lot of what you're noticing in his face, I think that has, shout out to the makeup department, because, I mean, if you think about the way that people lived back in the day, I mean, they lived out more in the elements. Like, that would make sense. Like, Blackjack is a soldier that's been out in the field, where Frank worked more in intelligence. He wasn't so much out in the field. So you can tell that, like, obviously Blackjack is a lot more worn.
He's seasoned.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say Frank is very seasoned as well, but in a different way.
Right.
I think he's, like, seen things that have just made him so cold and dark.
Well, I mean, as Claire, we'll get more into that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But so, you know, we're in here, and then Frank starts, I mean, not... Blackjack.
There it is. Bring it back.
There we go. Blackjack starts just... He, for some reason, and I don't know how, he just knows how to get under Claire's skin. And he realizes she's going to talk. So he just keeps picking at her. And, oh,
I love a good villain.
I know. He's a great villain. But Claire, if you would have just shut your mouth, you had a one-way ticket to Inverness. But no, you couldn't.
Listen, we need at least 10 more episodes, so that's not happening.
Do you think he did that to pick at her because he was not made fun of, but yeah, he was a little bit made fun of when he barged in by the soldiers.
Or... like his pride was hurt a little bit.
Yeah, so him showing his
and
dominance.
And so in like... a way to make them feel stupid, he's going to say stuff that's going to make her say words that are going to upset them. Was that too much little circle there?
I could see him doing that. He's very two-faced and shifty.
Yeah. Well, and I like how he turned, like, the discussion of morality into politics. And, like, you know, all the men are like, I didn't, you know, this is why I never talk politics to women. And Claire says, I didn't think we were discussing politics, I thought we were discussing morality of men. And she calls them out. And you see these men slowly start, like, one by one, almost, if you look at their faces, start turning on her. Mm-hmm. And I think the last one is Lieutenant Foster. Is the last one to kind of like be like, okay, I don't like this.
Whoa, pump the brakes a second here. No.
He even brought up points. Like, I think he made things really obvious. Like, isn't it interesting? A Scottish warlord and an English woman together. You know, he was saying that.
Well, and if you think about it, I think he has a very, very strong argument. If you put yourself in any of those men's shoes, I think Black Jack Randall, honestly, is being the smartest about the situation of this random English woman who showed up out of nowhere in the way she did, then went to live with Scotsmen for, you know, a few months, and then now it's back wanting to get to France or go home. I mean, like, you can't... you can't fault the guy for not trusting her.
Do you think it's different, though? Say he hadn't met her in our first episode, because he obviously knows this, a little bit of the story, the fact that they were, you know, she was with them for this long because she was captured. So he knows something is up before anyone else is, and the other soldiers in the room don't know that.
I think he would have been suspicious, but he would have wanted to get her alone so he could attack her again. I think he would still do it.
It definitely puts her at a disadvantage, for sure. He's holding it against her.
Because he has information that the other people don't, you know, when he's questioning her in front of all these people.
Mm-hmm. And as we know, Claire is very good. She just had a ton of practice telling her story to the Mackenzies to keep their trust at bay, and now she's sitting around the table. She has the upper hand because she's a lady with a bunch of drunk English men who haven't seen a lady in a while. So she knows what cards to play, and she knows what to say. And, you know, Blackjack just kind of threw her off course and really, really, like she, you could even see it in her face when she, like, bites her tongue and, like, the tension of, like, she's like, oh, crap. Mm-hmm. She knows when, like her... like, people have completely turned against her and she might lose this Inverness thing. And then... all of a sudden, somebody runs up and is like, one of our guys has been shot.
Yeah. We need an ambush.
Well, yeah. I like, too, that they didn't show her telling the story to all the soldiers at the table. Because, you know, you expect to hear the story and you expect it to be the same. But, like, if you would have shown it, there could have been holes that we maybe are not catching as viewers that we didn't see before. So it was just kind of interesting that they just omitted the whole thing.
Well, like I was saying earlier, this really reminds me of her first encounter with the Mackenzies. Mm-hmm. You know, and, like, how... the dinner was completely different and awkward when she was trying to interact with them, mm-hmm. because it was also kind of an interrogation on their end. But this time, we don't hear the discussion with the Brits, and they're just like, hey, we're having a great time. Family Matters song. You know, it's great. Happy days.
I'm just impressed at how she can just come up with all this stuff, like, out of, like, the air. You know, her answers are so quick and on point. And I'm wondering if she keeps the same story or if she kind of changes it to make the situation
I think
flow.
She absolutely keeps the same story, because mm-hmm. that's what Frank told her. Mm-hmm. Like, she knows that that's the way to do it, is tell all as much truth as you can. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure she's probably even, you know, when you tell a lie, you start to believe it to a little bit yourself because you've told it so many times. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that's kind of the case. And this is all she's thought about. Like, and all these travels. What's up, Roya?
Come back to me. I'm writing this down so I don't forget. But come back to me when we start talking about Blackjack and the truth thingy. I want to come back to that.
We will be there soon. So then we see a little bit of Dr. Claire again. Nasty. I had to leave
Sauna
the room.
On arm off.
That was gross.
I feel bad for them. I mean, did they not have anesthesia? They had to, like, feel all of that. That's horrible.
Yep.
No, they don't have anesthesia, Kendra.
I'm just saying, like,
do you know what year it is?
I mean, I'm just watching and I'm trying to imagine how much pain this guy just puts a thing in his mouth and says, bite this, you know?
Think about the fact of the saw actually cutting through the bone.
Gosh, I'd rather not.
And each time you're sawing,
the
it's ripping the flesh.
Sound effects, man.
Well, and
that was great in its own.
Oh, yeah, that's why it was just...
sound design.
I watched it the first time, like, I watched the episode, and then like we were watching it again, and I was like, I'm sorry guys, I gotta leave the room. I can't even deal with this. And that wasn't even the grossest part of the episode.
it was the warm up.
Kendra, to answer your question, I mean, Claire has done this 100 times before. They did not have anesthesia on the front lines where she was working either. So she, I mean, that's just what had to happen.
Well, they had morphine that they would have used in World War II that would have helped. Yeah. So they used opium in this case.
So did that numb the pain, or did that just kind of like...
Made him high.
Yeah.
So sort of numb the pain.
Hey, guys, I'm armless now. Awesome.
Oh, my gosh. It was so gross. But again, seeing a woman come in and do that and take control of that situation, even when there is a, like, a doctor.
I liked when she took control even when the doctor came
in.
Yeah. She became a nurse, is what
Absolutely.
She did.
Absolutely. And I'm sure that rose suspicion even more.
Mm-hmm. Did it, though? Because the doctor wasn't upset or anything.
I mean, but think of all the men watching, like, her. Like, how does this woman, this English woman who is, like, supposed to be this damsel in distress, comes in and knows how to do this?
Off.
Yeah, just... And with barely flinching. Like, come on. Claire, think about what you're doing.
She's really setting herself up, you know? Like, she's making herself more and more suspicious as she goes on. She should really watch what she's doing.
No, well, she's trying to help everybody around her. So if she's helpful, she's going to do it. And unfortunately, it's the wrong time frame to be doing it because she's a woman. Mm-hmm. And
sometimes
that's not...
you just need to say no, Claire. So then after that's all done, that was crazy. This is my other question, you guys. Why do you think that scene was in there? Because that wasn't in the book. That I feel like we already got the feeling of the fact that they didn't trust Claire. Claire had already dug her grave. Why do you think we saw that, Roya?
I know.
Go, Roya.
To get us out of the room.
You just think that's the only reason.
And to, like I was saying earlier, there's comparisons of her from the first time she met, you know, the clan and the Englishman. This is her helping the English when she helped the clan.
Okay.
So it's the same.
I think for two reasons. Because this is Claire being Claire. This is her showing who she is no matter where she's at or who she's dealing with. Because for her, you know, the division of the English and the Scottish isn't there. So it's her doing what she does. The other thing is I like the fact that she was helping the English people because she's showing them, even though it's raising suspicions because she knows how to do this, but she's showing she's not a threat to them because she wants to help them as well.
Well, I think it's definitely that. And then also, didn't they say like some out-of-towners injured them? Like, do you think that's setting them up for somebody maybe in the clan that's trying to come rescue Claire? I'm just saying.
Well, I don't...
They said that attacks were common.
Yeah, but Dougal did say that none of the people in their clan would have done anything against his will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It wasn't their group.
Yeah.
At least their group, but it doesn't mean it wasn't people that were McKinsey's.
I bet it was
McKinsey's.
Jack probably just shot him. He's no. like, you know, bam!
On the field, just shot several of them and left him.
Peace out, guys.
He's probably the one that cut that private's head off and tied him to a tree.
Walk home.
So, do you guys want to go back to Blackjack? Because he was so much a part of this episode. And we go back to the room that we spend majority of this episode in.
Yeah.
It's a nice table, though.
So, she returns in there, and then I think she's a little taken aback that Blackjack is in there alone. She's kind of like, crap. And Blackjack is actually getting... straight razor shaved. And I don't know if you guys noticed this, but that is the same exact razor.
Yep.
That Claire was using on Frank in the flashback.
Mm-hmm.
So... Claire had actually used that razor.
And in the opening, after the title card.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bam!
Well, he talks about it, though. Claire talks about it with Frank, and he's talking about the razor. And she's like, wow, this 230-year-old razor has really held its character. And she goes, well, the blade's been changed, but it's the same handle and iron part that make the razor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they didn't mention the fact that it was the same one, too.
Yeah, and he didn't want to take it to war with them, so we know that was before they went to war, because mm-hmm. he didn't want to take it with them and risk losing it.
Mm-hmm. And we saw how different their body language mm-hmm. was with each other. I mean, it was so much like warmer
physical
sexual.
He has a baby.
Touching. I know. I
don't want another one yet.
I don't want one either.
Well, the lighting was even different. Like, it was just so like in awe. Just, you're so like drawn into them.
Well, also, there's a memory, too, so it's a happy, like, we had sex after I shaved you.
It, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I feel like...
maybe before.
I feel like those flashbacks, I don't know if they're
flash forwards?
Flash forwards, yeah. Flash forwards, I feel like the filters on them are getting more ethereal. Like, it's becoming more and more distant in mm-hmm. her memory.
Mm-hmm. I didn't catch that.
As she goes on, it seems almost just a little, like, it's like a softer filter on the scene. So
I like that.
Yeah,
I'm gonna keep an eye out.
You keep an eye out. See if it keeps going.
Yeah.
So you know, Blackjack gets cut by the guy shaving him. Then he basically freaks that guy out and teaches him a lesson. And
well, if he had a beard like a man, then he wouldn't have the problem.
But okay. He's a boy. What's the point?
Clearly.
He's not Blackjack.
No, not Blackjack. I'm talking about the soldier.
Because yeah. When he shaves up his throat, like he's going to cut his throat, mm-hmm. He's like, there's barely a beard to shave.
Yeah.
I was so scared for that soldier. I was like, ugh.
I was like,
he's going up the neck. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God.
I thought for sure.
I've seen Sweeney Todd. I don't need to see that again.
Because we already saw the blood coming out of the soldier's arm, so I was ready for more blood. I was like, oh man, how much blood is going to happen?
Oh, don't worry. There's more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But wait.
But wait. So then Randall starts to interrogate Claire after he dismisses his shave boy. And Claire goes to tell him...
I'm sorry, was that boy the same guy that recovered her from Dougal?
It was Foster, correct?
No.
That was the boy that kicked her, though, right?
Yes.
Well, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ryan. You're jumping ahead.
And that's the show, ladies and gentlemen.
We might as well just...
Sean's on it for us.
Thank you, Sean. In the booth.
Watch the episode.
So Claire then makes up this lovely, lovely story as she finds herself in a corner about why she's trying to give Jack a reason of why she's there, and Jack's not believing anything. So she goes into this little sob story about how it was her lover and he attacked me and I ran and because I had just followed him here because I was in love and blah 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 blah, and Randall's like, bullshit. Tiny mushrooms.
I call your bluff.
Absolutely.
Well, so now, go right. Okay, so you remember how I told you earlier to come back to me? This is the time. So you remember how she said for interrogation that she tries to lay as close to the truth as possible, right? Here's a curveball / question. What if she was kind of referring to Jamie, and that's her feelings? Like, none of that really happened to Jamie, but having those feelings for someone, because she said to keep kind of close to the truth, that she went after... No?
No.
And shot time.
I'm going to say no.
I know how you feel now, Ryan. Okay. I'm just
kidding. That's how I feel all the time.
It doesn't mean, if somebody else agrees with Mariah, you are more than welcome, but I would say...
But you're both
please.
Wrong.
Please? That's a good idea.
I'm just saying, like, maybe that's why she didn't completely lie. Maybe she has some kind of feelings for Jamie, and he's the soldier that she's chasing after.
Or if we go back to the time travel paradox from a couple weeks ago, where she actually went to the future to go back to the past to write the song, that then it was the one that sent her to the future again.
You're going
to
make
but
my
she's
brain
actually,
explode.
Like, thinking about the boy that she was coming back to say as a man, and there's a story from that. That would be the whole time travel paradox.
Wow, you're blowing my mind. I want to say one more thing on that section. When they said the thing about what was his last name, I thought the way she got out of that was so smooth. And she went into this whole story. Because remember, he's like...
To protect his honor. Or not protect his honor, but not to get him in trouble with...
She is a great liar.
She is. She's a beautiful liar.
And I like that she called out Blackjack, too, about where he's from.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that kind of put him on edge, too. Like, oh, how did you tell?
I think that was stupid of her. That was dumb. Because this is the thing. She should know. Like, even though she tries to use the knowledge that she learned from Frank when he was researching Blackjack... I mean, obviously, it's going to light a bulb in his... Like what? How would you know this? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, Claire, what are you doing? Stop trying to be... Like, there are times when you can be a little feisty smartass, and there are times when you just shut your mouth.
Well, it's like, how many red flags are you going to put up? Like, you know?
Exactly. Gosh. Exactly. I mean, again, the more Claire spoke, the more I was like, oh, my God, I'm, like, on my side with Blackjack Randall on this part. I think you're a spy.
Everything you said is a lie. I don't believe
you.
You're
lying. You're lying. So, then we see Blackjack drop a heavy hammer when he's like, the only way, because he knows what she wants, the only way I will take you to Inverness is if you admit to me that you've seen Dougal and the Mackenzie clan trying to raise support for the Jacobites. And
that worries me that he knows about that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course.
My heart sung for Dougal. I know, but still, the whole clan. It's like, the army knows what's happening.
That's all she needs to do. Watch all they back. Need is proof now. And
they
can arrest
and
them
we
all.
Know that there's proof because there's two bags from the last episode.
Well, I think this shows how loyal she's, like, how her relationship with Dougal is growing. Because if this probably would have happened earlier, she probably would have given up the Scotsman or the Klansman and told, you know, yes, I have seen that. But now she, you know, is feeling like kind of part of the clan.
Really? I don't think she would have given up.
I don't know. I think, no, because I think morally, like, Claire's just like, no, that's not right. She knows what they're doing is wrong. And it's not her...
It's not that it's wrong. She just knows it's going to fail. Mm-hmm. That's what she's most worried about.
Yeah.
Because, you know, historically...
Maybe that's why they failed, because she told them. I'm just kidding.
Ooh. I don't know. Or maybe it's not going to fail now because she's
back. Or the thousands of soldiers right? that, you know.
Do you think she'll change history like that? I know that's the question we always ask, but you've got to wonder.
We will just have to.
I feel like that's too extreme of a historical point to change. Like dethroning the king and putting a Stuart king back in power. I feel like if there's a historical change that I could see that happening, but I think it'll be minor.
I don't think it's going to be that.
Like keeping
that
them great. Alive, maybe.
Yeah, I think
like changing
maybe
the entire historical monarchy arc of England.
So as soon as, you know, he's again getting under Claire's skin saying, I don't believe you. And so Claire tries to change the subject and she's just like, you know, you have a reputation. Like, why are you questioning them when, like, you have this horrible, like, why should I trust you? Why should I give you any information when, you know, you beat this again, Claire, again, giving up too much information and showing that you were picking sides. She accuses him of brutality and citing the day of Jamie's lashing. And, and then Randall goes into this really, really, really sick monologue with flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually flashbacks, not flash forwards.
Flashing back.
And, we see everything of Jamie getting lashed. And what did you guys, I mean, this was hard to watch.
It wasn't that hard to watch, but.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fine. And Jamie took off his shirt and I was like, yay, they reeled me in. And then all of a sudden they showed the other side. I was like, false. Turn around.
I really liked how Jamie folded his shirt and he's like, puts it down. All right, and he goes up, and then his smart-ass remark to Blackjack was amazing.
About freezing, like, yeah. While you're talking?
Yeah, he's like, oh, I see you're shaking, yeah, because I'm afraid I'm going to die from freezing before you get to me, basically.
And I think this is actually, aside from the brutality of the whole scene, is a great character-building moment for Jamie, because he talks about the whole time, you know, he was planning on making it a little slower, and, you know, Jamie wouldn't scream out in pain, wouldn't give in. He kept standing up, even though he kept whipping him, and it was just showing the strength of Jamie, mm-hmm. and that's going to, I think, develop him more in the coming weeks.
To be honest, I wasn't really focused on Jamie during the scene. I was more focused on Blackjack and how he was... I think he's such an insecure person, and it seemed like how the crowd was reacting was kind of fueling him, hitting him harder and showing more of that darkness. Like, he got darker the more he felt he was being taunted.
Blackjack reminds me of Joffrey in Game of Thrones, with just his lack of... humanity, truly. And to see his eyes almost like turned black, like the sharks in Finding Nemo when they are ready to, when they smelt the blood. Like, that's what it reminded me of. And it was just this disgusting thing. And like, you, in Game of Thrones, if you're a fan of Game of Thrones, everybody should watch it. It's great. But Joffrey is just this character that you just
very narcissistic.
Love to hate.
Mm-hmm.
He's horrible. But like, you love the character because the writers are so able to make him just such a good villain. And I feel like Blackjack is such
I feel like he'll never get another acting role in his life.
Really? Like, he doesn't want to act anymore.
Because people like hate him so much on the show that it's like they'll only ever see him as Joffrey.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to talk
about Blackjack.
We're going to talk about Blackjack.
It's just interesting, though, how much depth there is to him as a villain. Like, how much darkness, and I think we're getting to see more and more of that.
Mm-hmm.
What's really funny is, during that whole scene, I actually kind of felt bad for Blackjack. Not with the whipping of Jamie. When we get back to the table, their talk.
Do you think all that talk of, like, him saying how, like, he's lost himself and, like, you know, do you think Claire, like, that was true, or do you think he was just reeling Claire in?
I fell for it.
Both.
Whatever he was doing, I fell for it.
Mm-hmm. Tobias Menzies, man, like, hats off to you. Your, like, performance in this episode was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Just your little facial expressions and his, like, little snarls and, like, the way he'd twitch. And I was like, this guy is crazy.
Or his lack of reaction, too, in certain scenes.
Yeah.
Where he'd just stand there and just look stoned.
He had, like, a rabbit face. Did you notice that? Like, sometimes he'd be, like
his
the twitch.
Teeth a little bit. We didn't talk about the one thing that I really liked in the scene when they're talking, when he actually draws her picture.
Like, he did draw her.
Yeah.
I feel like that's going to come back.
Okay, but remind me, guys. In the first episode, was it, or the second episode? No, first one, when Frank starts talking about Claire, he's like, he held up her hand. And he said, did he say he drew her hand?
He used to draw her hand, yeah.
So that's another a drawing.
Historically, that's why I was bringing it up.
I had that written down too.
He talked about drawing her.
Yes.
Oh.
So
so I wonder if she thought for a second, maybe there is good. And that's why I fell for it too. I was like, oh my God, maybe Blackjack could be good and they can love each other. And then, wait, does that make her the great-great-grandmother if she gets pregnant?
Well, and then...
I'm my own great-grandma. Yeah.
So, and then Claire actually starts feeling sympathy a little bit. She gets pulled in and she's just like, you know, you can change. And I think Claire is being absolutely honest to him and being like, I've seen this happen to men. I know soldiers and there is still good in you. And I feel like that was her being like, there could be a little Frank in him. Like, yes, we can save you. You're going to be a better man. And then...
Did you feel at any point that there was like an attraction between the two of them?
Yes.
Like if that Claire was sort of attracted to him, thinking he was Frank and like wanting him to be Frank?
In that sense, yes. But no. When we saw who he really was, it clicked back to this and is not Frank because I can't breathe.
I think it was all downhill from the fog after the whipping.
I think Claire was just so fearful. Mm-hmm. I think she was so scared. But then I think she did start feeling sympathy for him. And she let her guard down and thus get punched in the gut.
Well, and another reason why she might have fallen for it, too, is because Frank also told her that when he would send information out to soldiers, he should have been the one on the front lines. So he saw that sympathy or empathy or whatever it is for those soldiers, just like Blackjack is sharing with her about how he actually feels.
Yeah.
So it's still the same kind of, she's heard the story before, and maybe this is really...
I don't think Frank was lashing a boy who stole a loaf of bread,
though. No, but he was upset. He felt the guilt of soldiers dying.
Okay.
That kind of guilt and that heavy weight of being in the war.
Do you think that this Blackjack character is attracted to her too?
I think everyone's attracted to her.
I think he's definitely attracted to her. But I think it's not in the way. I think it's in almost a carnal way, and I want to control you and I want to have power over you more so than a God, you're hot.
Yeah.
And I thought this was so funny because there's a point when Blackjack is like saying like, oh. Like, I think I can turn over this new leaf and start it with taking you to Inverness. And Claire's like, yes. Yes, let's do it. And he's like, oh my gosh, is this what making somebody happy feels like? And it was almost like Giselle in Enchanted when she's just like, ooh, I'm just so angry. And like, she realizes what the feeling of anger feels like for the first time. And I was just like, this is like the exact opposite. But Blackjack is feeling happy, for once. I just thought that was really funny. So I wanted to bring that up. And then he very quickly realizes, no, this is a big old lie. And he just punches Claire in the gut, which was another just gut-wrenching, thing to see and to watch is a man just brutally punching a woman. I don't know. Anybody punching somebody, I guess.
It was a shocker because I thought that she was going to shake his hand as like a thank you, and then all of a sudden just
boom.
Bam.
What did you think of that, Ryan?
I was taking notes and you were like, look up, because I was trying to figure out what was going on. And then I actually wasn't unexpected to me, honestly. Like I was shocked at first, but then at the same time I was like, yeah, this makes sense. Like he didn't really get the information that he wanted and he's a master manipulator. So I think more to come on that for sure.
Well, and then he says, kick her. Come in here and kick her.
Yeah, he calls a soldier in to do his work for him.
And he's appalled. The soldier is even like, oh my gosh.
The young soldier.
Well, I feel like that's tactical in his part because now it's, I didn't do any. No, she was trying to escape.
Yep.
You know, he kicked her. It wasn't me.
And when Dougal comes running in, he kind of swoosh goes to the other side of the table. So Dougal can't really point his finger and be like, you were kicking her. Mm-hmm. But it was a young soldier, so he kind of was like, hey, take the blame.
I love how scared the soldier was when Dougal came in. He's like,
I'm sorry. Dougal comes in, the war chief comes in, saves the day, and does it in a very political way. Again, I feel like Colum would be very happy of the way he dealt with that situation.
He really commands the room, you know, and he's like, this is not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
When he does things very smart as well, like very, he uses the politics that he knows to, you know, hey, this is right, so this is what I'm doing. You can stop me if you want, but you're breaking rules.
Yeah.
And he uses the rules to his, like, favor.
I'm surprised that, like, Dougal let her in the room with him that long alone, to be honest. Like, I'm surprised Dougal did not come in sooner.
Well, again, Dougal knows his place. Like, he's very tactful. So I didn't expect him to come in any sooner. And but again, this was very different from how it happened in the book. Mm-hmm. So, you know. But I'm sure, I mean, they were just down the stairs. And the wail that Claire let out and, like, probably then hearing the kicking, that probably made... And Dougal probably has spidey senses, and so he just knew.
I mean, this is not the first time he saved her, so definitely does have spidey sense.
Yeah, and so he basically he uses the law to say, no, I can take her. She's a guest of the Clan Mackenzie, and, you know, I'll bring her back tomorrow, if that's the law. And immediately rushes her to the stream, doesn't say anything, says, get a drink. Claire takes a drink, and we see Dougal pull his knife out, hide it behind his back, and ask Claire once again, are you a spy for the English or the French? And Claire has just been through crap. So she's like, are you serious, dude? Like, really?
Really?
And she says, no, I'm just plain Claire Beecham. And he puts it away, and he's like, okay, I'm good. She's like, what?
I love that she calls him. She's like, were you going to kill me with that? Like, really? You brought me down here, you're going to kill me? Come on now.
Yeah. And he says, you know what? This is a magic spring. If you were to lie after drinking that, your gizzard would fall out. Is what? That gizzard?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Like, what is in the water that would make that happen? Is that
gizzard? Can someone explain to me what a gizzard is, please? Because that sounds like a fun word. Gizzard. 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 What is that?
Yeah. Skin. People, a lot of times people eat the gizzards of turkeys and chickens and stuff.
Wow.
But yeah, it's not like real. It's a myth. Mm-hmm. With this spring, it's the spring of Saint
Nian.
It's a special magic spring.
Yes.
And
is it Ninian?
Yes.
Claire's like really a magic spring, but I think she's finally realized sometimes she just needs to keep her mouth shut because Dougal finally now believes her.
Yeah.
And also announces to her, I know how to save you. She's like, awesome, how are you going to save me? We're going to turn you into a Scot, and we're going to do that by marrying you to a Scotsman. And Claire's like, oh my god, really, dude? Like, you want to marry me? Like, come on, stop.
I love his little chuckle, too. He's like, really think of me marrying
Listen,
you?
Listen, I'd love to grind your corn.
Yeah.
I meant someone else.
And Claire finds out, we finally get here, that she is to be wed to Mr. Jamie as we know him now, McTavish, but as she will find out next week, Fraser. And yay!
He's a virgin! Yay! At least one of them needs to know what they're doing.
I love how Claire we fully saw the true Claire, no holds bar. When she found this out, like, I love how the very last scene of this episode was her just grabbing the alcohol out of Dougal's hand with the marriage contract. It was so perfect, and I loved it.
For that scene, I knew, like, people kept telling me, because I'm reading with the show, like, that's where I am in the book, so I don't know what's far ahead and what's not, and I read something about a spoiler of, like, a marriage that's gonna happen between them. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. But I'm glad that this is the way it went down, and not how I thought it was gonna go, because in my mind it didn't make sense.
It was forced instead of them,
like, just falling
in love. Yeah, exactly.
Like,
I love you, let's get married.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Either way, I'm just happy it's happening.
Yeah. It's gonna be really, really great. So let's do predictions really quick, and then we'll go into book comparisons for last. So
I have to wait for it. Is first. This?
Oh my god! Oh, there we go. There's the bagpipes. Every week it's a different bagpipe.
The
song,
thunder was rolling
it.
At first. AfterBuzz TV prediction.
Dun, dun, dun. So now that we know they are getting married, we kind of breezed over this, but Jamie admits that he is a virgin.
Shocker.
Which, who knew? But at least one of them knows what they're going to be doing literally tomorrow night. And Claire is not. And Jamie doesn't really bother him. So I think my prediction is we're going to get some sex finally next week.
Yeah.
Probably multiple sex scenes.
Do you think next week, or do you think they're going to save that for the finale?
No, we're going to get sex.
I don't know. It looked like a lot of talking in the previews.
Nope. They can't do that to us.
I think they can. And I think they will.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they will.
I don't think we're going to get it yet.
Prediction from you guys.
Shirtless Jamie. That's my prediction.
Okay, that could be every week.
I like it, though. It's a great prediction, I'm just saying.
It is. You can't top it. I think we're going to have a lot of talking. Even in the preview, she was, like, trying to kiss him, or he was trying to kiss her, and she's like, so where's your family from? And I was like, oh, my God. So I think that's going to happen, and then also I think there's going to be a brawl with Blackjack and the Klansmen.
Okay.
I want to. I'm hoping for more with the Jacobites and all that background with them, and because they're still obviously traveling from place to place, regardless of the fact that there's going to have this wedding or not. So do they end up back at Castle of the Ark, or are they done collecting taxes? So I'm looking for more with that, even though it may be at the castle, it may be on the road.
I think all next week is going to be sex scenes and backstory on Jamie's family. And I don't think... Yeah, and backstory on Jamie. I think Claire's going to get a lot of information out of Jamie. Raya?
Question. Do you think the sex is going to be better with Jamie or better than Frank?
We'll have to wait and see.
But, okay, book comparisons really quick. So, we're doing book... We'll go like this when we're done with book comparisons. Really quick book comparisons. Roya, you just read these chapters.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed that they went a different route of the whole flogging scene. It was from Blackjack's point of view versus Dougal. Mm-hmm. I really liked that so much more because it gave us more insight about who Blackjack might be.
Yeah.
And then the whole how they got Claire to Blackjack, I actually really enjoyed.
Yeah.
I was kind of shocked when Claire and Blackjack were in the room because in the book I was under the assumption that it was more sexual advances on her. And maybe that's just how I read it. Yeah. Because I know their first encounter was very sexual, or he tried to have sexual contact with her, and then I thought it was different
from
the TV show.
Yeah.
Well, I like that he let the bagpipes play the whole time.
So there are a few things. So Claire, as we said, Claire never had dinner with the British soldiers, but I really, really liked that scene. I thought it showed a lot about Claire's character, and I loved seeing a little bit of an insight of where the British are coming from. The scene with Dougal at the end was exactly how I imagined it when I read the book. That was almost spot on, so I'm glad that they went back to the book. And I just think Jamie and Claire's portrayals, they keep surprising me because they both seem a little spunkier on TV than I read them in the book. But I'm okay with it, and I love them even more because of it. So I really, really like how they are giving them a little bit more of an edge on the TV show. We see, I think there's a couple rack focuses during the flashback whipping scene, and I think that rack focus of the man standing behind Dougal, I think that is Jamie Fraser's father.
Ooh, sneaky.
I'm just gonna say that.
When you mentioned Dougal and him talking to Claire, that scene, I didn't picture that because I've never been to Scotland, so I don't really see the green, but I really love the show's showing us what their interaction was like.
Yeah, and just how they gave us that establishing shot, which made it feel magical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they showed us, like, Claire could absolutely believe why any Highlander would think this was a magical place. It was stunning. We've had a very long show, and I know we need to wrap it up.
Remember you said you were going to do this?
We're back. But this was such a great episode. We only have two left. I'm so sad we only have two left until 2015. Why are you doing this to us, stars? But where can we find you guys until next week?
Well, guys, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at HeyRoya. That's HeyRoya.
Hey, guys, you can find me at Kendra Summer on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. And that's KendraSommer. No S on the end.
If you want to see pictures of my new adorable daughter, you can see them at RyanHooks92 on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and I'm also hashtagging her now, Elise Victoria. She's the only one, so hashtag Elise Victoria.
And you guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Keaton Markey. That's KeetinMarchi. And, I'll be at Universal Horror Nights. We start working this week, so.
Ooh. Come check it out.
Come check it out, you guys.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
Absolutely.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.